In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Well, today begins a new season, which I just noticed that actually sitting in the bulletin as Father Paul already anticipated that, so I could leave that off, but no, too late, I already said it. It's still Easter. We're only halfway through this great Queen of Feasts, but the readings change the mood. Today begins that few weeks that we might want to think of as a kind of Advent season for Whitsunday or Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. For the last half of these Sundays in Easter, we change our attention. We look less at the resurrection of Jesus and more towards the next two great milestones in his life, which are also the next two big feasts of the Christian year. The ascension of our Lord into heaven, and his sending the Holy Ghost down to the church at Pentecost. We hear our Lord this morning predicting his death and resurrection. Well, by now we really ought not be surprised that the 12 don't understand. He's told them several times that he is going to Jerusalem to suffer and die and rise again. But they just didn't get it. In fact, until the Holy Spirit comes to them, the 12 often don't get it. Afterwards, once they have the Spirit, they remember what he said, and it makes sense. The gospel this morning, we have to admit, sounds a little more like a start of a comedy routine than it does the gospel from St. Mark. After hearing a little while, repeated over and over by different people, we almost expect to hear a punchline, but we don't. Jesus tells us again a little while, well, a little while and you will see me no more, again a little while and you will see me. Well, he means, of course, that in a little while he will die on Good Friday and they will see him no more. And then a little while he will rise from the dead on Easter. And for the 12, when they heard him say this at the Last Supper, this was enough, even if they didn't get that until later. But that's not all he meant. Because we can look at this saying now and see yet another way of looking at his words. There is another little while. There's the little while after he ascends. And then in a little while, they will see him again when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. And then the church sees him not in flesh, but in the Spirit and in the Word and in the sacraments of the church, the means of grace. And they will see what he has been teaching. And again, it will make sense. But then when Jesus asks the 12 if they have wondered what he's talking about, he says things in a very careful way. In our English translations, he uses the verb to see twice. But in the original Greek, he didn't. The first time he says it, he uses a verb that means just plain physically seeing. But the second time he says it, he uses a different verb, one that means spiritual sight. We'll see Jesus all right. We'll understand his meaning. But just like late night television infomercials, do they even have those anymore? I'm not usually up late at night. But wait, that's not all. Because there's a third way that we can understand these statements. In a little while he ascends, and then in a little while he will return, and the world will be judged. And we are in that little while right now between ascension and his return, the so far 2,000 years of a little while in between. God never lets his people suffer forever. There's always an end. Suffering ends in peace. Sorrow always gets turned into joy. One of the basic gospel messages is you have to stick with God. You have to trust him to turn that sorrow into joy, and eventually he always does. This is what our Lord meant when he used the metaphor of a woman in labor. Labor hurts. And now, of course, every woman here is thinking, what does he know about it? I have scars on the back of my hand, I can tell you. Save that for coffee hour. Labor hurts, but it doesn't go on forever. And when it ends, there's such joy about the new baby that the pain is irrelevant. Jesus is telling us that our time in this world is like being in labor. We know this world is not our home, as the saying goes. We're created for another place. We're created for heaven. new heavens and the new earth. But that's a subject for about 10 more sermons, so we'll get into that another time. Well, we've got actually until the service starts at 10:30. We could lock the doors and I could just go on. We're not entirely home anywhere else. At once we are in heaven with God, we won't be focusing on the pains and the sufferings of our earthly existence. We'll have perfect bodies that don't get sick or worn out or have allergies. One of my questions I plan to ask God is, what were you thinking when you created pollen? But we'll have perfect souls that love everyone. That alone will be amazing. And we'll be in the nearer presence of God. And what's more, unlike now, we will even know that we are. No more wondering if he hears or listens or cares or is even there, because all of us will know that he does. At the end of this morning's gospel reading is a promise that can't be beat. It's a promise that, as Dame Julian of Norwich said, all will be well, all will be well, all manner of things will be well. Jesus makes that promise to the 12 and through them to us, that he will see us again and our hearts shall rejoice and no one can take our joy from us. And so whether it's Easter or a little Advent before Pentecost, that is good news. To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, be all honor and glory now and forever, world without end. Amen.